now the Wild About Pets radio show, the place to learn something new about household pets and wild animals. Here's your host, educator and naturalist Susan Frank.
Hello, welcome to the show. Today, what you must take into consideration before you get a parrot for a pet, and if you already have a companion bird and are experiencing some behavior problems, how you can solve these problems and enhance your relationship with your bird all at the same time. I've heard too many stories of people who got in way over their heads with keeping large birds because they did not realize what it takes to ensure the bird's mental and physical well-being, or they didn't know how long they may actually be caring for them, or they were just frustrated by certain behaviors that they did not know what to do about. And guess who suffers for all this? The birds. If we are going to be keeping these glorious creatures as companion animals, then we had better know how to help ourselves and the birds live better, happier lives together. My guest today is Barbara Heidenreich, a professional animal trainer, behavior consultant, and author, and who trains and consults in zoos, nature centers, and other animal-related facilities all around the world. We'll be looking at some photos and videos during the show, so if you'd like to see them while you are listening, make sure you have the player window open on Talk Zone. Welcome, Barbara. I am thrilled to have you on the show today.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
This woman must not sleep because, in addition, she is also the president of Good Bird Incorporated, a company that provides parrot behavior and training products for the companion parrot community. Our phone lines are open. We are streaming live. Today is Friday, September 2nd. So if you'd like to call and ask Barbara Heidenreich a question, you can dial 888-463-6748, or you can email me at susan@wildaboutpets.net. You'll find those numbers also on the top of the photos that we're looking at today, and also at Talk Zone. So, Barbara, let's start out by talking about what potential parrot owners need to know. What are some of the characteristics of parrots, i.e. their natural history, that influence how to properly care for the birds?
Well, I think a lot of people expect parrots to be just like a dog or a cat, that you can kind of pick them up and love on them no matter what, and that they'll respond right away. But I think with parrots, it takes a little bit more effort to build up that relationship. And so I teach people to be very gentle and very respectful to animals, especially parrots and other small mammals, where you give the animal a little bit of space and let them approach you. And when they do approach you, you make sure wonderful things happen, like maybe getting favorite treats, and or if the bird is receptive to touch, you might be able to give them a little head scratch. And one thing that's kind of interesting about parrots that a lot of people who aren't familiar with them don't know is that they don't really like to be stroked from their head down to their tail like the way you might pet a dog or a cat. They actually primarily prefer to be touched on their head, and they like to have those feathers stroked towards their beak, so kind of the opposite direction than what we're accustomed to.
Oh, that's a very good tip, because, of course, we would commonly think of stroking them just like we do any other furry mammal.
It's true.
How long do parrots tend to live?
They can live quite a bit longer. It varies. There's about 350 species of parrots, so each of them is a little bit different. But your smaller parrots tend to have a shorter lifespan. So if you have a budgie or a cockatiel, if you got 15 to 20 years, you're looking at a good long lifespan for one of those smaller birds. However, some of the other parrots, some of the larger ones, can live quite a long time. A lot of times people think macaws are the ones that get to be the oldest, but generally, they average around 30 to 35 years in captivity, but Amazons have been known to get up there in the 50s, and some species of cockatoos have been known to get up quite high in years as well.
Some of the stories I've heard, Barbara, that I was referring to earlier in my introduction were of people who maybe they have been told that these are long-lived creatures way beyond dogs and cats, but I think they didn't quite process that, and they were shocked that this was a commitment for sometimes 20, 30, 40 years.
Yeah, it's kind of a good thing and a bad thing, because on the one hand, some of our pets, you know, we develop a strong bond with them, and when they pass on after such a short time, it's just heartbreaking to us. So sometimes having a parrot is a nice thing, because you have a really long lifetime companion. But as you mentioned, there's also the situation if you're not really happy with the relationship with your pet, now you've got a situation where you've got a long problem, you know, a long time problem that you're trying to address. So it can be good and bad depending on your situation. But parrots can bond very strongly with people, so there can be a real strong emotional attachment there, which you know is often what we're seeking when we have pets in our home. We love that companionship.
Yes, and I see we have a picture. It's number 5 of one of the birds that you've been caring for, Tara. Tara, if I'm pronouncing her name correctly.
Yeah, Tara. That is my blue-fronted Amazon, and I have had that bird now. It's actually going on 24 years.
Mm-hmm. And she could live, as you said, for another 30 possible years.
Yeah, and I actually don't even know exactly how old she was or is, because the way that she came into my life is how a lot of people sometimes come across a parrot, is somebody didn't want the bird and they gave her up, and actually they asked me if I would just kind of pet sit, watch her for a couple months, but that couple months turned into 24 years. I don't actually know how old she is because she came to me as an adult, and with parrots, you really can't, there's not a whole lot of physical stuff you can look at to let you know exactly how old they are. We can kind of see when they're getting older, you know, you might see arthritis and maybe a dulling of colorations and things, but we don't have a way to determine the exact age at this point in time.
Speaking of bonds, we do have a question from Donna from Maine about a jealous cockatoo. Donna, welcome to the show. Go ahead with your question for Barbara.
Oh, thank you very much. First of all, I'd like to thank you for having Barbara on. I really appreciate the chance to ask her a question. My question is, I have an umbrella cockatoo. I've had her for about 3 years now. This is her fourth home, and she's only 8 years old. She and I have bonded very strongly, and because she and I are home together all the time, it's just the two of us. So when other people come into the house, she's very jealous and protective, and even my husband, I mean, she'll climb off her cage and chase him up the steps laughing all the way, you know. That's not good. So I wondered if there's a solution to that. Because I live in Maine, it's not easy to take her out to socialize her. It's cold here a lot.
Sure.
So I'm wondering if there's any kind of thing I could do to make her, I don't know, less jealous, or get her used to my husband somehow, or if this is just something that I'm going to have to deal with and put her in her cage when people come over.
Well, it's a great question because it actually is a pretty common problem, and it sort of manifests from natural history of parrots. So in the wild, parrots do form really strong bonds with their mate, basically. And when that happens, they tend to drive all the others away. They want to just maintain that relationship with that one individual. But the really cool thing about animal behavior is that it is modifiable, even if it's innate behavior. It's still subject to learning experiences. So what we can do is we can focus on teaching your parrot that good things will happen when she interacts with other people, but we want to set that up in a safe way, because at the moment it sounds like she's presenting aggressive behavior towards other people, and obviously we don't want to put anybody in a situation where a parrot might behave aggressively towards them. So what I often encourage people to do is the person who does have a relationship with the bird can spend some time training what I like to call stupid pet tricks, but they really have value. If you train things like waves and turnarounds and, you know, maybe a retrieve, which are all very simple behaviors to train, and they're hands-off, it gives your parrot an activity that it knows earns it positive reinforcers. So hopefully you would train these behaviors using things like food treats. And then what you can do is, usually it's better to do this when the person who the bird really likes is not in the room, because it can be kind of distracting, and sometimes still lead to aggressive behavior. But if you're the person you want to start build a relationship with the bird learns from you the cues to cue the wave or the turnaround or the retrieve, they can now give the bird an activity to do that the bird knows earns it a reinforcer, and then they can offer the treat to the bird, and if they're worried the bird might bite them, they can just drop the treat in the bowl, something like that. They don't have to hold the bird to do any of these activities. And that starts to pair positive reinforcers with the new person. So it starts to increase the value of that person. It also helps if the person who doesn't have the relationship is the one who delivers all the good things to the parrot. So if it's all his favorite treats or maybe access to a favorite toy, things like that, all those help make that person have more value. It does take a little bit of work, and it also kind of requires the person who does have the relationship to try and back off a little bit on, you know, giving too much treats and attention to the bird, so the bird has reason to want to interact with the other person. It does take a little effort, like I said, because you need, you know, the person who's been being attacked, sometimes they don't feel terribly motivated to want to make friends with the parrot.
Sure, of course not.
So you got to give some positive reinforcement to your husband, too.
Well, thank you very much, Donna, for your question. So, Barbara, speaking of these attachments to people and knowing that the birds live very long, I've also heard that if, let's say, someone relinquishes the bird or can't handle it and the bird has attached, that when the bird finds himself without that human being, they can become very despondent or even grief-struck. Do you have anything to add about that?
Yeah, that's a really difficult one to answer, because in reality, we can't read their minds. The best we can do is look at their body language and see if we can use that to give us some information to kind of guess what's going on in there. So it's hard to say, you know, it would be really impossible for me to say for sure that a parrot grieves. I'm sure people have observed some things that may cause them to see that going on in their parrot, but I can't say 100% I know that is happening or not. But one thing we do know about parrots, and really many animal species, that even the ones that we consider monogamous in the wild, and parrots do form these strong pair bonds, it's not a smart survival strategy to then never pair up again, right? That wouldn't help them continue to... continue the species. So even though, you know, it may be difficult for your bird, or your bird may be behaving differently at the loss of a partner, there's a very good chance that your bird will respond down the road to another opportunity to have a relationship with another person or another animal if it does respond to other parrots.
That's reassuring. We have another question from Dunia, I hope I'm pronouncing your name correctly, from North Carolina, about aggressive bird behavior. Go ahead, Dunia, with your question for Barbara.
Yes, hi, Barbara. I'm actually calling about an eclectus, a male eclectus. He's friendly at sometimes when he feels like it. He steps up sometimes when he wants something, and other times I just put my hand in front and he'll just bite me. You never know with him. He lunges at you from the cage. As soon as you turn around and, like, place him on the perch or something like that, he lunges. And sometimes he'll lunge, like, at the cage, bite the cage. He seems aggressive, like, with me, with my husband, and with everybody that comes over. Is there anything I can do to help him, like, get over the lunging and stop doing that?
Sure. So one of the things that I really try to teach people is that every time your parrot cooperates and does something that you request him to do, like step up on your hand or step onto a perch or go back into the cage, that you positively reinforce him. And what that means is that you're going to add something to the environment that he really likes. So it might be a treat, it might be a head scratch, it might be here's your new favorite toy or your old favorite toy. But there's always got to be some payoff for doing the behavior. And the reason we do that is what it does is it creates a parrot who's really eager to participate. We want our parrots to be cooperative and well-behaved, and the way that we get that is by making sure every time they do something we ask, something really fabulous happens. And what will happen is instead of that bird going, okay, fine, I'll step up, he'll go, oh, really? I get to step up? Okay, I can't wait. So I would really encourage start using some reinforcers. Every time he steps up on your hand, give him a little treat. Or, as the eclectus, he probably doesn't want a head scratch. But if he has a favorite toy, yeah, most parrots don't like, or most eclectus don't like head scratches. But anything you can think of he likes, even if it's attention from you, some parrots do respond positively to that. But if the parrot doesn't have a strong bond with you, he might not be seeking attention. But look for anything that he really likes and use that to reinforce good behavior.
Thank you, Dunia, for your question. Obviously, Barbara, we're going to be spending a lot of time, and for anyone who is listening to the show today, talking about the behaviors and Barbara's use of positive reinforcement training, which is going to solve a lot of our issues. I do want to just bring up one little point about birds in the wild. I will be making references, and I think there's value in knowing how to care for our birds by taking what we know about them. And we are talking about them socially, and obviously when I've seen photos of them in the wild, I see groups of them. And also I'm interested in the state of them in the wild, Barbara. And I love the fact that one of the things that you say you'll talk about is the legality of owning these exotic pets. First of all, are most of the birds that people can obtain through pet stores or wherever captive raised, or are they caught in the wild?
Well, now most of them are captive raised. It became illegal to import birds into this country without special permits a number of years ago. So in the past, unfortunately, parrots were brought into this country that were confiscated from the wild. And fortunately, you don't have to get a bird from that kind of situation these days. The ones that are bred in captivity are readily available. And of course, there's plenty of opportunity to adopt a parrot if you're open to taking on an older bird, and you may have to do a little bit extra training with them if they've had some behavior problems, but a lot of times there's great birds available for adoption, and people give up birds for different reasons, but yeah, you can definitely find birds in captivity that were hatched and raised in captivity.
Okay, thank you. Well, we're getting lots of questions. I want to take this next one, and then we'll go on talking a little bit about some of the other issues coming up. So Kathy from California has a question about parrot inheritance. Kathy, welcome to the show. Go ahead with your unusual question.
Thank you so much. I think it's probably a question a lot of parrot owners have. We have an 18-year-old Senegal who's very healthy. We're happy for that. But we're in our 60s and 70s, and we don't have children, so we really don't have anybody to put in the will to take care of our parrot. So what do people do when they have a situation like that to make sure their parrot is well taken care of if they outlive them?
I know that's a tough one. I think about it too for my own animals. It's difficult. If you really can't find somebody, you know, close to you that's willing to take on the parrot, there are some places that will provide a permanent sanctuary for your parrot. It does require some fees, obviously, because they're going to be caring for your bird for the rest of their life. But I think the Gabriel Foundation does. I know Best Friends, which is out there in Utah, does. So there are a few options for a sanctuary type situation, if you would prefer that you know the setup and as opposed to having the bird adopted out to somebody else. But you might explore those options. And I do believe the Long Island Parrot Society that they have a nice write-up about you know, leaving your bird to another person. You might visit their website and see if you can find that there.
Thank you very much, Kathy, for that question. Barbara, so you have a solution to many of the issues at hand that we're talking about, and really what you like to stress is training these animals, and of course people who have dogs and cats are very familiar with the idea of training, but I think it's somewhat unusual, and maybe you can confirm that or not, the idea that training and positive reinforcement training can work wonders. First of all, what is meant by positive reinforcement training?
Well, positive reinforcement, well, I'll just define it for you here. So reinforcement means to increase behavior, and this all comes from a science called behavior analysis, and it basically focuses on how things learn, how we influence behavior, and it same stuff that you use with children and, you know, humans and all that. But reinforcement increases behavior. So what we're trying to do is get behaviors that we want to happen more often. And then positive is just adding something to the environment that usually is something the animal seeks to acquire. And by doing that, we're able to increase these behaviors that we want. When we're training with positive reinforcement, quite often what we're doing is we're identifying a behavior we want to train, like, say, for example, step up with a parrot. And we try to break it down into small steps that the parrot can easily achieve that we can reinforce with a food treat or head scratch, whatever. And then we work through those steps to get to the final behavior, stepping up onto our hand. And we can apply that to all sorts of things. A lot of times people think of it as, you know, only for training tricks, although tricks do have a role in our and what we do with parrots. But really the way that I see the most important application of this information is just to create really well-behaved cooperative parrots. So we have birds that step up on our hands when we ask, go back into the cage when we ask, interact with lots of different people, you know, maybe be comfortable being wrapped in a towel or letting us trim their toenails without restraint.
So you know what, Barbara, let me interrupt you for a second while you're saying that, because we're going to take a look at one of the videos where you're showing some of these behaviors. And so we'll get that going in just a moment. And what you'll notice is some of what you just talked about we're seeing right now, where they're stepping up on a scale, or you can nail trim, or yes, you can feed something by a syringe or go into a cage. In the blanket, as you mentioned, or touching the foot, we also see you putting a harness on or off. What are the true values of some of these behaviors then, Barbara?
Well, in my opinion, our goal should always be to have our pets be as comfortable and relaxed as possible. We're trying to give them the best life we possibly can, and a great way to do that is to reduce stress for medical procedures that might be a part of your bird's life. And those of us who do have parrots know that when you go to the veterinarian, often they need to restrain your parrot, and that can be pretty frightening if your parrot's never had that experience before, but you can actually train it so that your bird's not uncomfortable with it, so it's sort of a normal part of life. Same with getting on scales and allowing nail trims and things like that. So it's really just about making life fun with your parrot. And if your bird's flighted, you can train them to fly to you. So one of the things, all my parrots in my house are flighted, and they're all trained to fly to specific perches in the house. So again, those of us that have parrots are aware that parrots do like to chew on things as part of their natural behavior, but by teaching my parrots that going to this perch will earn you lots of goodies, they don't fly to other places around the house where I don't want them to be, where they might chew on something. So instead of having to be the bad guy and telling them to stop chewing something, I get to be the good guy and say, oh, you're such a good parrot for sitting on the right perch that I want you to sit on. So there's lots of benefits to it.
Oh, sure. And a little bit later, we'll take a look at also that video. And I want to call attention to the fact that Barbara talks a lot about the positive reinforcement training in her books and in her DVDs that you can get. And you'll find those on her website. And I have links to her website. We are going to take a break now. I know we got Kathy from St. Louis holding. Stay with us, Kathy. We'll take your call right after the break. So stay tuned, everybody. For more with Barbara Heidenreich and what to do with our companion parrots.